Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. You who dwell within us, open our hearts and our minds to hear in this worship experience today the word that you have for us. Help us to be faithful to listen and to be faithful to act. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Well, this Ministry 2021 series that we've been doing has been building up to a ministry plan for this year and beyond. We started out by stating the problem that Christianity in America has been on the decline for 50 years, and especially mainline denominations like ours. And Middletown has not escape that decline. The decline has result of several different causes, some internal, some external, but the result is simple. More people are leaving the church than are coming into the church. And we've named our goals. Our goals for this coming year and beyond is to be a safe place for people to explore the Christian faith, to introduce people to Christ, and to help people grow in their faith. We have answered where we are, we've answered where we're going, and today we're going to answer how we're going to get there. How are we going to reach these goals that we've set? Well, Einstein said this, "Thinking that got us to where we are is not the thinking that will get us to where we want to be." Reversing the decline in the church will demand a new way of thinking that results in a new way of acting, which means a change in the way we do ministry as individuals and as a congregation. The church is a change-resistant institution. The church doesn't change easily. We have often believed that we can make a little adjustment here and a little adjustment there and just work harder and things will be all better. But if you stop and think about it, the only real change that's happened in the church in the last 50 years is the addition of contemporary worship. That's the only real change that's happened in the life of the church. The way we do church today is not much different than the way we did church in the early 70s. Man, it's hard to believe the early 70s was 50 years ago, isn't it? Jeez. Well, there are specific actions that will be required for us to reach our goals. However, there is at least one action that kind of covers all of our goals. The responsibility for church growth has always been placed at the feet of pastors and staffs. The congregation and the denomination both have placed it there. As a district superintendent, when we sat around the table making appointments, one of the criteria that we used was worship attendance for the past 3 years in that congregation. And the trajectory of that worship attendance, either up or down, could affect the appointment that that pastor would receive. Moving forward, congregations must feel some responsibility for church growth. The church came through an aberrant period of church growth in the 40s and 50s, where the church didn't have to do much to experience growth. In those days, people were just coming to church, unlike they are today. Also in those days, there weren't much in the way of church staffs, a pastor, a secretary, and maybe someone doing Christian education. But when the church began to experience decline and began to experience competition from outside for people's time, they started adding staff. The attitude developed in many congregations that they hired that staff to do ministry for the congregation. Well, the purpose of church staffs were never to do the ministry for the congregation. However, many staffs took on that role and as a result developed an unhealthy codependent relationship between congregations and staffs. The primary purpose of a church staff is to equip, resource, and empower you to be in ministry. As Christianity in America began to move into the future, as we move into the future, the growth of local congregations will depend on the people in the pew. It'll depend on you. You are the key to church growth as we move forward. You are the key to reaching more people for Christ. Now, we as a staff, we will do our part. We will equip you. We will resource you. We will empower you. We'll do our ministry. But we must do ministry together. There must be a shared responsibility in ministry as we move forward. Now, you need to hear what I'm saying. You all are extremely faithful with your generosity. You always rise to the occasion when collecting whatever we're collecting, from dog food to diapers. You make sack lunches by the hundreds every month for the homeless. You always come through. You staff the mobile medical unit. You support missions locally and globally. Middletown couldn't do the kinds of ministries it does without you. So thank you. You are appreciated greatly for the ministries that you do in the life of this church. But moving forward, we're going to need you to be more engaged in reaching people, people of all ages, for Christ. If children's ministry is going to grow, it's going to need more servants, more volunteers. If the youth ministry is going to grow, it's going to need more people involved. If we're going to reach people for Christ, it's going to be up to you. All three of our goals will require that we authentically care about people, about the people that we're ministering to, about the people in our community, and that we are ministering to them for no other reason than we care about them. Our motivation for ministering to people and reaching people is not so we can gather a crowd here on Sunday morning. It's not to get their financial support. It's not to justify a building project. And I name those because I know congregations where that has been their motive for trying to reach people. My friends, people today can sniff out insincerity and inauthenticity in a heartbeat. They know bait and switch. Our motivation can be nothing more, can be nothing less than because we care about the people in our community. The great commandment to love our neighbor must be our guiding principle. The church in America has an image problem, and the only way to repair it is to authentically care about the people in our community, to love them for no other reason than we just care about them. So how are we going to reach our goals? Well, the first goal is to become a safe place where people can explore the Christian faith. And this is first and foremost simply going to be an attitude for us. The way we engage people when they do come, when they do attend our services, our Sunday school, our Bible studies, our book studies. It's becoming comfortable with people asking questions. It's becoming comfortable with people having doubts. It's not getting defensive when people challenge our beliefs. When people do show up for those studies or those classes, we must give them permission to ask questions. Don't assume their level of understanding. Being a safe place to explore the Christian faith means building a reputation. And in our classes and in our conversations, it means encouraging questions. It means encouraging people to push back, because if we can't defend what we believe, then we're in trouble before we ever start. Which means we must be comfortable with questions and pushback. In some ways, this will be the easiest of our goals to reach, to become a safe place for people to explore the Christian faith. Next, we will introduce people to Christ. Since we don't have a ton of non-believers beating down our doors, that means we must go where they are. And we accomplish this in two different ways. And this is where you come in. All of you must be intentional about having spiritual conversations, about sharing your faith, about helping people know Christ. A spiritual conversation also is more than just inviting someone to come to worship. Now, when I said that, the vast majority of you said to yourself, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't have spiritual conversations. I can't share my faith. I can't help people know Christ." Well, that's where the staff comes in. That's where we will equip you, empower you, and resource you to be able to do that. We know that there is fear. Some are afraid of having those conversations. Others feel like they don't know how. Others feel like they don't know the Bible well enough. But we will help you. And once COVID allows us to, we'll do that in person. But until then, we're going to do it online, with classes online. And let me explain how that will work. Have any of you ever seen the website masterclass.com? That's not a rhetorical question. Anybody seen that website? It's a wonderful website, and if you haven't been on it, you need to go on it. Masterclass.com. And what it is, it's professionals in a variety of fields, cooking, writing, music, sports. They do 5 to 10 minute videos teaching you how to write poetry or play an instrument or cook brisket. Well, we're going to employ that same concept. We're going to use short videos to instruct, but also have those videos that so that you can refer people to those videos. We'll do videos on things like, what is the Bible? Or, why become a Christian? Or, how to pray. We'll put those videos on our YouTube channel so that they're there and available to everyone. It isn't likely that a non-believer will sit through an hour worship service. They probably won't even sit through a 15-minute sermon. But they might sit through a 5-minute video that a friend of theirs recommended to them. As I said last week, this goal of introducing people to Christ is simple in scope, helping people to know Christ, but it's difficult in execution. It's difficult in execution, one, because the church has not in the past equipped you and empowered you and resourced you on how to share your faith, on how to have those spiritual conversations. But that's going to change. It'll still be difficult to execute, but we're going to make it easier for you. We'll accomplish this because we love our neighbors, because we care about the people around us. But it must be a shared responsibility. There's not enough of us staff to reach that many people. But you all have that opportunity every day with people in your neighborhood, people in clubs or organizations that you're a part of, people that you play cards with or play golf with, or people that you walk in the mall with. Simple in scope, difficult in execution. Our third goal is to help people grow, and I've said this several times, that this congregation is committed to learning. Between Sunday school and small groups and Bible studies and book studies, there is a high percentage of people involved in growing. However, all of that learning is random. There is no systematic way to help people grow. And so to reach our goal of helping people grow, we're designing a systematic discipleship path for people. It'll have 4 advancing levels. The paths start with exploring Christ. Next is transforming in Christ. then maturing in Christ, and finally centered in Christ. And it'll be designed where people can jump in at any point. Someone who knows little or nothing about Christ will start at the beginning, but there may be some who have an experience with the faith, and they'll be able to jump in at one of the other levels. And we'll also make use of those short videos in helping to grow disciples as well. We're also developing a discipleship path for children and for youth. The children will be designed around what children need to know and at a certain age. The youth plan is still in process, since Nathan has come on the scene late in this process. But we are committed to helping all people, people of all ages, grow in their faith and grow from where they are at this point. And part of loving and caring for our community is loving and caring about all of their life. Part of helping them grow is involved in walking alongside them in their everyday life. So we'll be designing lifestyle classes where we will address everyday challenges, such as blended families or the sandwich generation. When is it time to move into assisted living? Navigating JCPS, to name a few. We're committed to helping people grow in all areas of their life. Well, these goals, all of them, they're all worthless if we don't set them on a foundation of authentic love and compassion for the people in our community. The only reason to be in ministry is because we care about people, the whole person. So I encourage you today to be in prayer as we begin to implement these goals, so that together we may share the responsibility of ministering to our community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.